Replacement Parts took several years to write, so the story wore several hats at one time or another, but three elements always tended to remain. The first was the heat, which is really the overarching character in the piece. Most folks think the Midwest as lush or fertile or moderate in climate, but really the region is full of extremes, blizzards, floods, and in this story, a summer full of drought. In summer, Iowa can feel a bit like a desert, and so this unrelenting heat and how it seeps into everything, the air, the ground, the way people think and talk to each other, I hope adds a sense of pressure as things turn from bad to worse in the story. And I feel like it almost takes a surreal quality, a dreamlike sense as the temperature rises on the story. The second element is Hannah, our main character. I was always drawn to her voice. It's strong and mature and it's full of realism because she's been forced to grow up faster than she should. And in a lot of stories about teen girls, I feel like they're often portrayed as sweet or naive, and this is their fatal flaw. It comes from this like lack of intelligence, and this is what makes them unreliable. So I wanted to create a young narrator who was smarter and maybe even more reliable than the adults around her. And in fact, when the story makes a huge, unexpected turn in the middle, when a large secret is revealed to Hannah, I wanted the reader to be just as shocked and surprised. And therefore, maybe aligning us all the more with Hannah, since we didn't see it coming either, and we as readers won't undermine or look down on her for misreading the situation. But in fact, we might even find her more reliable because we were just as taken in by the secret. Then, after this turn of events, I wanted to make sure she didn't become a victim of adults. So I wanted her to rise to the occasion, take things in stride. If anything is a part of her identity, it's this idea of adaptation. She can adapt to most situations as they come to her. But when this adaptation fails, I wanted her to work against it and take more agency than most teen characters are maybe deprived of. Which leads to the third element, which is this, it stems from the title, a theme that appears often in my work, which has to do with loss, usually of a parent, for one reason or another. And how those left behind, the survivors of the loss, cope and try to deal with it by filling that loss with some kind of replacement. In this case, it's three disparate people who've all suffered a deficit, so they try to form their own kind of family. And when this is betrayed, as in all families, there's a need to compromise or sometimes even compete to keep it together, because the need for family is so inherent in Hannah's understanding of the world. If she didn't try to keep it intact, she herself may become lost. Replacement parts. Drake lived in our shed for a month during the summer. At least that's what we called it. The shed, our shack, a hut held up by the air itself. Not that it matters much out here, where everything seems made from sun and sand. Colton, Iowa isn't just where two counties cross paths, it's also where one drought seems to turn into another, doubling up the heat. An unincorporated community of 39 on the border between the towns of Dexter and Gooding, it was once a solitary way station on a road to nowhere. But since the interstate arrived, it's now just a place, separated by a quiet two-lane highway, a gas station, and a pile of double-wides feeding off lost travelers. In other words, it's no place for a pretty girl to be raised, which is why for class photos my mother used to dress me so you couldn't tell me apart from the other short-haired schoolboys, overalls covering every inch of skin, long-toed sneakers enveloping my feet like second-hand clown shoes. And this year, as 16 rolled around, there was no hiding anymore. With the lanky legs and generous chest, I became a reluctant member of the girl race forever and ever, amen. In fact, before she died this summer, I'd catch my mom gazing at me, eyes slit and shaking her head, almost as if blaming my body, healthy and spreading, for the cancer eating her from the inside out. In the past, she wouldn't whip me around much anyway, which felt like a blessing of sorts, especially when she came back from the bar with men searching for a bed. regardless of the reports every few years about missing girls, women foolishly following strangers in the fields. These men still wound up in our trailer. But when the lumps were detected last year, and the men began to look me up and down instead, Mom would offer the car keys and tell me to drive somewhere else. Still, some nights I accidentally walked in on them, and despite the first impulse to run, I couldn't help stare. She was beautiful back then, thick legs straddling a waist, her hands touching her own curves, eyes shut as if she were alone. I'd silently back out of the room, nobody ever knowing I was there, and listen to the various boys make their noises down the hall throughout the night, only to leave the next morning like a quick mist.